Sachstronperk, Hamish Nahentelperk, Volmish Nabase. We're in the middle of the procedure of burning the Ketores, the incense, which is a mixture of spices which produces a very strong aroma. And they were burnt on the Mizbeach, which stood inside the Heichel. The Heichel is the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to the much larger courtyard, which was outdoors, essentially. And there were two critical stages within the procedure of burning the Ketores. One was taking coals from the Mizbeach, which stood in the courtyard. If you recall, we learned that one of the fires which was made on one of the corners on top of the Mizbeach in the courtyard was in order to produce coals to be taken for the service of the Ketores. So the coals would be taken from there and then placed on the Mizbeach, which stood inside the Heichal, inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, ready for the second step, which was placing the Ketores, this mixture of spices, onto those coals. Now, we learned that a lottery was performed to choose who would be the kohen to perform the service of the Ketores. That's referring to the part of the service where he actually places the Ketores itself on the coals and offers it, he burns it on the Mizbeach inside the Heichal. Who would be the kohen to merit the job of taking the coals onto the Mizbeach? The Gemara explains that it would be the kohen who was standing next to the kohen who was selected in the lottery to place the Ketores itself on the coals. The person standing next to him, he would take the coals from the outer Mizbeach and enter into the Heichal and place them onto the Mizbeach ready for the Ketores service to be performed. So the Mishnah says, Mishnah Zochma Machto, the kohen who merited to take the shovel of coals from the outer Mizbeach, not on Machtas HaKesef, he would take the silver shovel which was designated for that purpose. And this shovel was large enough to contain a volume of 4 kav of coals. That's a particular volume measurement. He went to the top of the Mizbeach on the ramp. He moved the coals about from this side to that side, locating the coals which were glowing and very hot, which would be perfect for burning the Ketores, and he would scoop out those coals using this silver shovel. After that, Yorad, he would come down from his Mizbeach on the ramp, and he would pour those coals into a golden shovel, which he would use to actually take the coals into the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and place the coals on the Mizbeach over there. The reason why he wouldn't use the golden shovel to actually take the coals from the top of the Mizbeach outside in the courtyard is because of an incredible concept that the Gemara explains, that HaTorah Chasa Amomoinom Shel Yisrael, which means that the Torah, so to speak, pities the money of the Jewish people, meaning that the Torah is concerned that we don't use up our money unnecessarily, and if we would use a golden shovel to actually take the coals from the fire, it would get ruined, and it was unnecessary to have that extra expense, and therefore they would use a silver shovel and transfer the coals from there into a golden shovel. Now the truth is, the golden shovel was slightly smaller than the silver shovel. The silver shovel could hold a volume of 4 kav of coals, whereas the golden shovel could only hold a volume of 3 kav of coals, and therefore when he poured the coals into the golden shovel, nispazar memenu kakav gecholim, roughly a kav of the coals would overflow and spill over onto the floor. And like we saw earlier on in the Masechta, for things to overflow, to show that we are bringing overflowing utensils as part of the service, that's considered to bring a greater honor to the service and to Hashem, and that's why they would do it in this way. But now there's a bit of an issue, because there are coals on the floor of the courtyard. Now the Kohanim would be walking around in the courtyard barefoot, and therefore immediately, they would clean away those coals, they would sweep them into the stream of water which ran through the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, in order that nobody would be burnt. Uva Shabbos, but on Shabbos, it was forbidden to do so. It's forbidden to extinguish a fire on Shabbos, and for that reason, they couldn't transfer the coals into the stream of water, and therefore, Hoyakoyfalein Psachter, they would rather turn upside down a giant pot on top of these coals in order to avoid anybody burning their feet. And the Mishnah describes the exact nature of this utensil, of psachter hosakli gadol. This psachter was a very large utensil, a large pot, machzekas lesech. It could hold a volume of a lesech, which is equivalent to 90 calves. That's a very large pot we're talking about. And as the Mishnah is about to mention, another use of this pot is that when the pile of ashes on the courtyard, on the Mizbeach in the courtyard, would become very large, and they saw that it was necessary to clean off part of those ashes from the Mizbeach, the way they would do it is by placing this large pot on top of the ashes and bringing it down the ramp of the Mizbeach. But because this pot was so large, there was a danger of it simply slipping down the ramp. And then the ashes would spill out, and they wouldn't be contained within the underneath this big pot. And therefore, to make sure that that wouldn't happen, there were two chains attached on either side of this pot. One of the chains was used to pull the pot down the ramp by one kohen who was holding on to the chain from that side. Whereas the achas, there was one chain on the other side that a different kohen would hold onto that chain from high up on the ramp to prevent the pot from simply spilling down the ramp. Like the Mishnah says, it's also disgalgal so that it won't slip down and the ashes will stop being contained underneath that pot. There were three uses of this big psachter, this big pot. Firstly, they would turn it over upside down on top of the coals, which spilt out, like we explained at the beginning of the Mishnah, on Shabbos, v'al ha-sheretz ba-shabbos. If a sheretz was found in the courtyard on Shabbos, a sheretz is one of the eight small animals that the Torah lists as being a source of impurity when they die, or of being a higher level of impurity when they die. And in general, if a sheretz is found in the Beis HaMikdash, in the courtyard, it would be simply taken out, in order that no kohen will have contact with it and become impure, and therefore unfit for performing the service. However, on Shabbos, they're not allowed to transport the sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash because it's muktzah, which means that it has no use and it's therefore forbidden midrabbanon to move it on Shabbos. Instead, they would place this pot over it in order to avoid kohanim having contact with it and becoming impure. And thirdly, like we explained, when reading Bois Hadesh and Malgaba Mizbeach, they would use it to bring the ashes down from the top of the Mizbeach. Mishnah Vov, the procedure of the Keteres continues. The two kohanim who are involved in the taking of the coals and the placing of the Keteres on the Mizbeach, they reach the area of the courtyard which was in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Ulam is the area which stood in between the two walls, sort of in the middle of the wall of the Heichal, where the doors of the Heichal would be. But because the walls were so thick, there would be an entire area in front of the doors of the Heichal, which was already outside of the courtyard, but it wasn't yet inside the Heichal because it was in front of the doors. That was the Ulam. Be as it may, these two Kohanim reached the area of the courtyard between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, which stood in the courtyard. Not lechad as a magrefa, one of those two Kohanim took the magrefa, which literally translates to be a shovel. The truth is, this is a type of musical instrument which was shaped like a shovel, and its purpose was that the Zorik HaBein HaUlam LaMizbeach, one of the Kohanim would throw it on the floor in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and it would produce a tremendously loud noise, so much so that Ein Adam Shamea Kol Chaver B'Yerushalayim Mikol HaMagrefa. A person couldn't hear his friend's voice talking in the entire city of Yerushalayim because of the voice of the Magrefa. And the noise which was produced at this point had three purposes. There were three things which this noise signaled. Firstly, Kohen Shoshmeas Koila, a Kohen who heard the noise, the sound of this Magrefa, Yodea She'echva Kohanim Nechosan Eshtachavais, he would become aware and realize that his fellow Kohanim were about to enter into the Heichal to bow down. Although in general it's forbidden to enter into the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, unless you're performing a service, there was a point during the day, specifically after the Keteres was burnt, that all of the Kohanim, even if they were not performing a service, were able to enter into the Heichal, this building of the Beis HaMikdash, and bow down fully to Hashem. When they would bow down in the Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't be just half like we do nowadays when we daven Shemona Esrei. They would bow down totally flat on their faces. So the Kohen who heard the sound of this Magrefa would know that the Kohenim are about to enter to bow down. V'horotzuvah, he would run and join the other Kohanim. It should be noted that he had to make sure to fully dip himself in the mikveh, a certain body of water, to purify himself before entering into the heichal. All right. Number two, when Levi shushmeas koila, when a Levi heard the sound of the magrefa, yodesh echva Levi nechasim dar bashir, he would realize that his fellow Levim were preparing themselves to enter and begin to sing. The Levim would sing when the wine was poured on the Mizbeach to accompany the offering up of the Korban Tomid. And although there were quite a few services which needed to be done before that, already at this stage they would start preparing, getting the musical instruments ready, so that there would be no delay when the time comes. So the Hurotzuva, a Levi who heard this sound, would run and come and join the other Levim. The Reish HaMa'amod and the head of the Maimod, what exactly was the Ma'amod? So just like the Kohanim was split into 24 groups, and each week a different group of Kohanim would serve in the Beis HaMikdash, there would be a 24-week cycle, each week a different group of Kohanim would serve. So too, Yisraelim, who were other members of the Jewish people who couldn't perform the actual service of the Beis HaMikdash, they would be split into 24 groups as well, and each week another group of Yisraelim, the group was called the Ma'amod, would come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would be in the area of the Beis HaMikdash where they're permitted to be, which is more limited than the area where the Kohanim can be, and they would spend the week fasting and praying that Hashem accept the korbanos, the sacrifices which were being offered up that week, amongst other things. Be it as it may, the head of this group of Jews who would come there, he would have an additional job, which he would perform at this point. He would stand, he would set up and direct the impure Koyanim for them to stand Bashar HaMizrach by the eastern gate at the entrance of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Because these Koyanim were impure, they were not able to enter into the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, to bow down. And the reason why they had to stand here at this point, the Gemara explains, is actually in order to slightly shame them for not being more careful to remain pure close to the time that they would know that they would be serving the Beis HaMikdash. Because they weren't careful enough to remain pure at this time, they are now missing this unbelievable opportunity to enter into the Heichal, this holy place, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and bow down fully to Hashem. And therefore they had to stand there in order to slightly shame them so that they would not do this in the future, and they would make sure to be much more careful in future to remain pure close to the time that they would know that they would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Perek Mishnah Aleph. This perek is an immediate continuation of the previous perek. We're in the middle of the procedure of the Ketores, although the Mishnah will interrupt with a continuation of the cleaning of the menorah, but the perek begins, Hechelu Oilin B'malei Sa'ulam. The two Kohanim involved in the procedure of the Ketores would begin to walk up the steps towards the Ulam. Again, the Ulam is this area in front of the doors to the Heichal, and it was in between, sort of in the middle of the very thick wall of the Heichal. Now, it was higher up than the courtyard, and there were 12 steps which led up to the Ulam, and automatically the Heichal as well. So these two Kohanim started walking up towards the Heichal. They need to place the kol and the ketores on the mizbeach, which stands inside the heichal. However, beforehand, Misha Zochu Bedishon Mizbeach HaPnimim HaMenorah, the two Kohanim who merited to clean the inner mizbeach, which stood in the heichal, as well as the menorah, Hoimakdim Lifnehem, they would go in front of them. Misha Zochu Bedishon Mizbeach HaPnimim Nichnas, the one who merited the honor of performing the service of cleaning the inner mizbeach of the ashes, which he had already done that, like we learned earlier on in the Masechta. But he had left the basket, if you recall, which he had filled with ashes, on the floor next to the Mizbeach. So at this point, Nichnas, he would enter into the Heichal, V'notel Asateni. He would take that basket, V'hishtachva, he would bow down fully, V'yotza, and leave the Heichal. The reason why he would bow down is because he had completed his service, and it's like a servant who takes permission to leave his master after serving him. He would bow down, and that's why he would do that at this point. Just as an aside, the halacha is, and not everybody knows this, when somebody finishes davening Shmona Esrei, which is the main part of our prayer, the halacha is that before he takes three steps back, I'm not talking about the three times he bows down to the left and right and in front of him. Before one takes three steps back, you must bow down in exactly the same way as you bow down at Moedim. You need to bow down before you take the three steps back for exactly the same reason as in our Mishnah. we are finishing our service, so to speak, of the main part of the prayer, the Shemoneh Esrei. And therefore we need to bow down before taking three steps back and leaving that situation of davening Shemoneh Esrei. Right, we return to our Mishnah. Mishazocha b'dishnah amenoyah nichnas, the one who merited the service of cleaning the menoyah would enter into the Heichal. Umotza shnei neiros mizrachim dolkim, if he would find the two most eastern lamps still alight, then medashnis hamizrachi, he would clean out the most eastern one at the end of the menoyah. But umaniach z'maravi doylek, he would leave the one which is west of the most eastern one, so it's the second to the edge of the menorah. He'd leave that one alight because shememenu ha'malikas ha'menorah bein harbayim, he would use the light from that candle, which was called the ner ha'maravi. He would take the fire from there in order to light the other lamps of the menorah in the afternoon later on. This light miraculously remained alight since the previous day, in order that they be able to use that light to light the other lamps of the menorah. And only after he used that light to light the other lamps, then he would extinguish that light, clean it out, replace the oil and the wick, and light it again. Mitzoysha kova, but if he found that this light had actually gone out, the miracle didn't occur, for the majority of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people weren't necessarily on the requisite level for meriting that miracle. So if it was already out, then there was no point in waiting to clean it till later on. So Medashna, he would clean out that lamp as well. And when it comes to lighting the menorah, he wouldn't be able to take the light from that candle. Rather, Madlikim Mizbach Ha'Ola, he would light all of the candles by taking fire from the Mizbeach, which stood in the courtyard, where there would be a constant fire burning. All right, now this Kohen had completed the job of cleaning the Mizbeach and preparing it for the lighting, which would happen later on in the day. Notal Sakuz, he takes the jug, which is full of ashes, Maloshnil, from the second step, out of the three stone steps which stood there. The Ishtachavah, he would bow down fully in the Heichal, the Yotzah, and he would leave the Heichal after having completed his service. Mishnah Base, now the Mishnah returns to the procedure of burning the Ketores. Misha Zocha B'machdor, the Kohen who merited and received the service of transporting the coals in the shovel. Tzobar Sagecholem, he would tip the shovel of coals out onto Agabi HaMizbeach, onto the top of the Mizbeach. The Riddon, he would flatten the coals and spread them out, B'shulei HaMachdor, using the bottom part of the shovel, and this way the ketores could just be placed on the coals very easily, and then v'ishtachavah, this kohen would bow down v'yotzah and leave the heichal. And the next Mishnah will describe how the actual ketores was placed on top of the coals on the mizbeach in the heichal.